I see countries nowadays, whether they have a program or not, in general, they've become a brand, you know. They want to attract, whether it's tourism, whether it's foreign direct investment, whether it's talent, whether it's expatriate. And I think Malta has the right ingredient.
The Global Passport Investor is your go-to podcast. All right, welcome to the latest episode of the Global Passport Investor. I'm your host, Eric Major, an investment migration veteran with 3 decades in the game. I'm also the founder and executive chairman of Latitude Group, where our clients expect the world and we deliver it. So this is the latest in a series of talks that we have with citizenship and residency by investment and all things investment migration. If you're watching this on YouTube, please leave your questions in the comment box. And for those of you listening to the podcast, I'd invite you to email your queries at questions@globalpassportinvestor.com. So today we are talking to you about Malta, the country that holds the pole position in the investment migration industry. It's a unique place where the British rule of law and business ethics meets Mediterranean lifestyle and joie de vivre. It's an exceptional place to work, live, and settle. And it has, in my view, the most attractive residency by investment program in the marketplace. So to tell us more about why that is, I'm pleased to welcome today our very special guests, Jonathan Cardona, the CEO of Residency Malta Agency, which is the agency responsible for administering the MPRP, and Ryan Darbinen, our managing partner at Latitude Malta. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you for having us. And amazing to be with you here,
yeah,
Jonathan.
It's a pleasure. It's really good to have you back in our sector, in our industry. And I do want to start off by congratulating you on your appointment at the Malta Residency Agency. When did you start exactly?
I started towards the end of January, so it was just over a month.
Okay, good man.
I'm still fresh.
Yeah, still fresh, learning the ropes. Well, it should be too hard of a learning curve for a guy like you. You're not new to this industry. Why don't you share with our viewers and listeners a little bit about yourself and your bio?
So I've been in this industry, I think, now since 2014, bar 2 years. So I was in, I joined the Malta Individual Investor Program when that was launched through Identity Malta Agency back then in 2014. It was quite a colorful experience.
I would agree with that.
It was challenging. I mean, we faced significant challenges to try and persuade the people what we were trying to do, both locals and even the institutions. I mean, the situation was quite interesting, but it was a very good learning experience.
Yes.
And I think the whole experience itself has helped us improve our systems and operations. So with the scrutiny that everything brought with it, I think it was a catalyst so that the agency and the government and everyone operating in the sector, especially with the Maltese program, to improve their systems, more serious.
And I'll give you even more on that. It became the reference point to all the industry, all the programs that is available in the industry. It's really the, as we say, the poster child of how these programs and how citizenship and residency should be run. So there was a tremendous effort in those days, and you were leading that effort. But I tell you, it's the reference point that everyone in the industry referred to as how to do it. So well done on that.
Yeah, we've invested a lot. I mean, we've had a very dedicated team. They were very passionate in what we were trying to do. We've invested with a lot of training. We've discussed this with numerous, including yourself. You helped us a lot in the beginning. You guided us on certain things, but we also then enrolled numerous very reputable due diligence companies. Everyone contributed a bit, but the sum of it all, I think, ended up in a very decent proposition.
Oh, absolutely. It's certainly a better place than what was originally conceived, I have to say. So that was a good journey. But now you're in a similar but different role with Malta Permanent Residence Program. This is the residency program that Malta offers to foreign nationals who want to come and become a resident here by making an investment or contribution to the economy. So can you dissect a little bit how this works and what's the constituent components of this program?
Sure. So the scope of this residence program is basically, again, to attract individuals who want to contribute to the Maltese economy. Mm-hmm. And it opens the door of opportunities, to be honest with you, both locally and even in the European sphere. The program itself, as a ballpark figure, would cost around 100K. Excluding the property.
Excluding
the investment in the property.
Because you have to have a residence to be part of a residence program.
Yes.
But it's a program that gives you the flexibility, which we really don't see in many other programs. You have the option of, you know, renting a property then deciding later whether you want to, you know, purchase a property, or you could even, you know, purchase a property.
Actually, I want to take you up on that. You're right. Spain, Portugal, when Portugal had a residence, a real estate component required the applicant to make that purchase even before you submit.
Correct.
Right? Correct. Whereas what you just said is very important for the applicant who wants to discover Malta and really get a sense of where in the island could they want to maybe settle. It gives you the chance to rent first and get your bearings.
It actually gives you the complete peace of mind that you only make that commitment once you've gone through the whole process and you have the rubber stamp that you are actually approved.
Excellent.
You've satisfied all the requirements, you know, you've gone through the, you know, rigorous due diligence, and then you make the contribution payment, and then you actually commit to leasing or purchasing a property.
And not
beautifully designed.
Yeah, and not everyone's just allowed to submit. There's a regulated regime as to who's allowed to represent a client and submit to the agency, as I understand it.
Yes. So clients can submit their applications only through licensed agents, which are, again, highly regulated. Mm-hmm. So this will be, and it will be an even more regulated sphere in the near future, mm-hmm. Where those who are processing applications, so the agents who are receiving the applications on our behalf and submitting them to us, are people who are well-versed with the financial sector and well-versed with AML regulations, and in the future they will also become subject entities with regarding to money laundering activities.
Yes.
So the whole idea is always to make it as rigorous and transparent for the benefit of everyone, for the peace of mind. I think the more serious a program is, I think it will give the peace of mind that, you know, you're enrolling onto something which is serious, something which gives value.
Yes, agreed. Absolutely. And tell me a little bit about what I know you're only a month on the job, but who are you seeing applying? What nationalities are expressing interest in this program?
Well, it's quite varied. Obviously, one would expect the Chinese market to be an important one, because traditionally there's a culture there of people applying for such programs, but it doesn't stop there. I mean, we have people coming from all over Asia, so Vietnam, Philippines, Turkey, then South Africa, the U.S. Okay. So it's quite varied.
And that's been our significant
number of nationalities.
That's been our experience too. Absolutely. At Latitude, right? I think it's a pretty broad spectrum of nationalities.
Absolutely. And what we're finding as we're going along is that, you know, more and more applicants who are referred by other successful clients know exactly, you know, what they're looking for. They can't wait to complete the process. And the idea is to actually come and spend time in Malta. Mm-hmm. You know, they look at our education system, especially applicants from Asia, and they're, you know, sending their kids to school here in Malta as well.
I want to pick up on that in a minute. Let me just remind our viewers that are watching on YouTube to please leave your questions in the comments section below. And for those of you listening to the podcast, I invite you to email your queries at questions@globalpassportinvestor.com. So let's pick up on that theme here, because, you know, MPRP is obviously Malta's proposition in this space, but it's part of the EU. There's a lot of participants that offer residency. What would you say, either of you really, to answer, makes Malta's proposition unique and frankly attractive as compared to neighboring countries?
I think what Ryan was saying earlier is one important element, the fact that the significant capital outlay that an applicant will have to do, the majority part of it, comes after they know that they have been accepted. So the impact there on the applicant, the financial impact, is controlled, so to speak.
Yes.
Apart from that, Malta, it's a beautiful place. It's English-speaking with, you know, Anglo-Saxon work ethics. Mm-hmm. The lifestyle, the fact that I think we hear our second official language is English, it helps a lot from the educational side, even for people to integrate here. It makes life a bit easier. Being part of the European Union, being part of Schengen, helps. Mm-hmm. Because through the residence program, you can get access. So if you're doing business, you want to travel, it makes life somewhat easier. So I think when you put all these things together, it's a very, very interesting proposition. Correct. I think even the fact that you are a rather straightforward, I mean, the whole approach is a very straightforward one. You see what you see is what you get at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I want to pick up on the Schengen point, because not everyone fully understands this concept of this Schengen travel area that 26 European countries have agreed to. It is, as you said correctly, Jonathan, it's just a right or a privilege to visit, to travel, but not one to settle, in the sense that you're not, with a Maltese residence card, able to set up a business in Germany or send your kids to school in France, or you could visit these places, but you're not a resident in these countries. And so there's a bit of confusion at times in the marketplace around, you know, what these residence cards afford you. It affords you access for visit and travel, correct, and tourism, and for 90 days and any rolling 180 days. But it's not the right to reside in Spain or Portugal, right? We're all clear on that.
Correct. Yeah, it's just, right. It's just giving you. It's just giving.
So, if you're going to choose a place in Europe, I think you've just given a lot of reasons why Malta.
Exactly, and makes that's sense. I think, you know, what, again, you know, coming from our clients, what we find is, you know, who's looking at these solutions and why. And the moment you get into the why, you start to understand that they're, you know, looking not necessarily to improve their mobility. It's also looking at a plan B now, or maybe later. Mm-hmm. And that's where the MPRP, you know, wins in comparison.
I agree.
Because a lot of the applicants, when you know, they go through their consultation with us, they, you know, we make them realize that you're going to go through the process. As Jonathan said, you're making the commitment after you know that you have successfully. But then you don't necessarily have to pack your bags and move.
Mm-hmm. At least, yeah, you're invited to.
You're invited to, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
And we find that perhaps you know, the mother and the children do come and spend time here, whereas, you know, the breadwinner continues with their business wherever they're coming from. And that flexibility is something that they really look.
Do you agree with that, with the clients that you're seeing, that you're seeing some of them actually wanting to understand a little bit more about life in Malta and what it could afford them?
Yes. I'm quite honestly, I was very positively surprised. I mean, I've been there just over a month now. But the number of individuals, the number of families who are actually moving here and settling here has definitely increased and improved over the past years. And I think one of the main reasons also is the stability of the country. Malta is in a very, you know, right now the world is going through a very particular period. And Malta is like a safe haven, so to speak. It's you know, it feels you're protected, it feels safe, it feels neutral. You know, there's this peace of mind here that, okay, I mean, we're going through it. We have our own set of issues, but by and large, it's a very nice place to be.
Yeah. That's a very good point, Eric. And I have to say that could easily extend, Jonathan, to the program itself. Many times we have clients whereby, you know, they're comparing between the programs. They see other programs going through so many changes. They look at the Malta program. There was no changes to the requirements, no changes to the regulations. Program was launched. Those are the requirements. If you're eligible and you fulfill. And, you know, together with the stability as a program, it's also a very stable program.
Indeed.
That you know, in comparison to other programs, you know, there's peace of mind there, that there's not going to be changes from the time you start to the time you complete the process.
Yeah, you know, we have a large constituent of our viewers and listeners are from the United States. And, you know, here's a country that, you know, 10 years ago, most people say, why would I even look at these things? These are not solutions that I really need. I have a great passport. I could travel the world. But then the pandemic changed that perception, and maybe the very polarized political realities there are driving some people to reflect that. Well, what I'm hearing is I may not be willing or prepared to pick up my bags and move immediately. But if I have to, or feel that things are moving in a direction where
wouldn't
I
mind
will.
Being here.
Well, this is it. This is really the question, because let's face it, Americans, many of them have English, and that's it. Some do have other languages, but that whole English connection, the weather plays a big part, the food and the people and the safety, which is also an issue. What's driving a lot of Americans to think, you know, things may have gone over the top with respect to these shootings and these issues, right? So they are longing. In fact, some of them are considering places like Dubai because of that simple reality of safety.
And to be honest with you, I think you touched something when you mentioned the pandemic. Mm. I was still at citizenship back then. And I remember, well, that at one point, every block sort of became a fortress. Europe closed its borders, mm-hmm. basically, and unless you had either a European citizenship or a European residence, you couldn't move to Europe.
That's right.
And many individuals, because of various things, either because of family issues or of business or whatever their personal reason might be, they really wanted to come to Europe and they couldn't. And I think it was an eye-opener. It was really an eye-opener. I've met so many individuals who said, listen, for us, families, for us, the reason why we started thinking about actually having one of these solutions was mm-hmm. you know, the pandemic, because we realized that all of a sudden we are locked down and we want to move out. And we want to be able to move.
Exactly.
And this is, you know, a very interesting proposition.
Yes, I know, and there's a large constituency of people are thinking along those lines. Yes, some of them will choose neighboring Canada, some will choose New Zealand and Australia, but some are very Eurocentric. And although Ireland will claim that they speak a funny variation of English there too, as the Maltese do, I will say, but the weather here wins it in many people's hearts and minds.
They have good beer, though.
Yeah, they got good beer, yes. But I had some lovely wine this week from Malta. I was really surprised that you have such a quality, and you know me, I know my French wine. And this really was a surprising, lovely Chardonnay that you presented last on Monday. A final reminder for those viewers listening on YouTube to leave your questions in the comments section. And for those listening to the podcast, you could email us at questions@globalpassportinvestor.com.
The greatest investment you could ever make is an investment in your future. Rift Trust and Latitude Group is the leading provider of residency and citizenship solutions for high net worth individuals.
Our clients are like our extended family. We're a global firm with a local focus.
What makes us truly unique is our leadership team. 100 years of combined industry experience. And we're working every day with governments to improve and build new residency and citizenship programs.
Obtaining a second residence or citizenship is the best modern insurance policy for you and your family.
Our clients expect the world.
We deliver it.
Hello to freedom.
Now, back to you, Jonathan, to the industry, and you know it from your previous job, but even residency by investment, you know, there are critics in this industry that don't like this idea that wealthy people could actually facilitate their entry and obtain these privileges by making an investment. I won't get into that because I know we're preaching to the converted, both here at this table and I think for a large part our audience. But what, if anything, keeps you up at night in terms of the business or the industry?
Quite honestly, right now what keeps me up is the enthusiasm to make things better, to improve things.
Yeah.
So you know, you when you join a company, you have all these ideas, all these energy, and
you want to make a mark.
You want to make a mark. There are, you know, I think my predecessor left behind a very solid, very robust organization.
Mm-hmm.
But as always, there are always room for improvement, and
right now
we're focusing on that. On improving our internal systems, and we've already started that, on widening our client portfolio, so increasing and playing where, you know, which countries we can bring our proposition on their map. So right now that's the it's quite
focus.
Positive to be it's quite a nice experience.
Well, I think as practitioners and those who are in the industry would appreciate that answer, because if you're coming in with a view of improving And there's always room for improvement. But what I'll say again is still the best program in the marketplace right now, in my estimation, for all the things that we, the reasons we touched on. But that's music to our ears. I'm sure you agree, Malta, Latitude Malta head Ryan Darmanin. What do you think? Is this the right position for Jonathan to be entering into this role? Because we know he made his mark the last time. What's your level of confidence he'll make it again?
Absolutely. No, I mean, we go way back, and you know, there's confidence there in terms of, as Jonathan said, you know, continue to build on what has been, you know, already.
Yeah, and your predecessor did do some, brought, frankly, the program to the next level from the previous one as well. So in each passing chapter is an improvement.
I like the fact, Jonathan, that, you know, you've mentioned in terms of looking as well at new markets, and that's what Latitude as well, you know, is really investing a lot in actually bringing in families, bringing in investors, bringing in, you know, affluent people to the island, and they're then, you know, introducing the island to their network.
Yeah. So now, I know we have even in the audience a fellow staff member who spends many of her days receiving clients and showing them around and getting them through these various program processes, and so that's a big part of our role, is having them discover beautiful Malta and everything it has to offer. And I think it's winning the day. We're seeing more and more people creating some roots here. This is really what you were saying earlier.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the other thing I want to say is that the way, I don't know if you agree, Jonathan, but I see countries nowadays, whether they have a program or not, in general, they've become a brand, you know. They want to attract, whether it's tourism, whether it's foreign direct investment, whether it's talent, whether it's expatriate. It's just, and I think Malta has the right ingredients, but we also need to remind ourselves that there is strong competition out there, and we need to remain, you know, at the forefront.
It's a very good point about the brand. Some countries have gotten that very well, others less so. I think Malta has its position. I think, unfortunately, we have to acknowledge that there was a lot of noise over the last decade, I think unrightly targeted or directed towards Malta, certainly unjustified from a program integrity point of view, and I'm sure you would agree to that. But I think we've gone past that. I think you know, the program that you launched is 10 years old. The MPRP, frankly, a version of it apparently goes back to even the 60s and 70s. These versions of these programs have been around for many years in Malta.
Yeah, no, they have gone, they go back, I think, from the 60s, since the British left Malta. And the first program were actually designed to, you know, attract the British to, you know, who were in Malta, who had an affinity with Malta, to come back and settle here. So it wasn't a big effort, because the weather is much better than it's in London. But that is writing from where the concept started. But also, even going back a bit to the critics, I think if you have an open mind, I mean, there are many genuine critics there. And some of it actually did help to improve the system. So I think constructive criticism was also a key part to help improve the...
That's a very keeps everyone
on their toes,
comments.
I guess.
I think even though at times it got a little bit heated, in the end, I take your point. And then it brought us to a better place.
I think they did. They actually did have an important role in
to play.
We're at the part of the show, gentlemen, that we call anecdota time. This is where we ask our guests, and I did this to you just on the last one, so I'm going to focus on Jonathan, to share a story, an anecdote, a funny tale about you, about Malta, about investment migration, about any observation that you have that you think our listeners would be interested in hearing. So don't be shy, be candid, but when, it is a family show.
Yeah. Don't worry. No, I've been one of the things, well, since I joined this industry, there were many, many funny stories.
Yes.
But one of them was when I was doing a presentation in China.
Okay.
I used to be back then an advisor to the Prime Minister, and I gave my card to
the staff, right?
No, I was an advisor to the Prime Minister.
Yes. Okay.
And when I gave my card to the person who was going to present me, he covered the advisor too when he was reading it. So he introduced me to a hall full of people, and I would like to welcome on board the Prime Minister of Malta. And I was like, not exactly.
Let me correct that. Someone's covering the
advisor. So anyways, and then I came up, you know, understand that I'm not exactly the Prime Minister of Malta. But then the queue of people I had for photographs afterwards, after the presentation.
I can't imagine.
It was endless. You know, everyone to take photo with, God knows what they said. So
that's a good one.
That was quite interesting.
That's a funny one. I mean, I once, you know, you go to these receptions and you pick up a lot of business cards and you know, meeting somebody who wanted mine, I gave them somebody else's and only realized it was the same company, so it was somebody else in the company, but it wasn't me.
Not a competitor.
There was more to it than that, but it's a family show. I won't go there. Well, listen, Jonathan, Ryan, both of you have been really swell guests, really interesting conversation. Before I close off, do you guys have any final thoughts for our viewers and listeners that you think you'd really want to impart?
Well, from my end, I think it's just like to say, listen, Malta's a really interesting proposition. Even if not for this program, it's even a nice place to come for a holiday. Mm-hmm. Spend a few days, country full of history, full of interesting people. You know, it's a nice place to be. It's a worth coming for a few days.
Yeah. I agree. That's the least they could do. You agree with that?
I echo what Jonathan's saying.
That's a big part of your role. You welcome a lot of people every day, as I said, some of our staff as well. But I think that this program and just the general openness that Malta has is winning the day now as more and more people do experience it. I could tell you from abroad, people say nice things about Malta all the time. They either visited or they know somebody. So you have, as a people, as a nation, a really good brand. And that's something that I think these programs continue to also expel and grow.
Absolutely.
So thank you, listeners and viewers, for joining us today. And stay tuned for our next episode of the Global Passport Investor in the days ahead. See you all shortly. And thank you, gentlemen.
Pleasure.
All right. Voila.
Awesome.
For a deep dive into the recommended residency and citizenship programs available, please check out latitudeworld.com for further details.